He was a smart lawyer, don't you think? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And then, Jesus was also a very good teacher. Jesus did not answer his question, you'll notice, but instead turned it back on him. What do you read? What does the law teach you? You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's very hard, right? And so the lawyer knew that this was a hard thing to do. Not love the Lord your God. There are lots of ways that we are called to love God, but love your neighbor. That's a challenging one. And so he went ahead and asked the question, and who is my neighbor? And who is my neighbor is a question that allowed him to form a box around the people that he had to love. Because loving people like yourself, assuming you treat yourself with some dignity, is a very hard thing to do. And so if I can only put a box around the people that I have to be concerned with, then maybe I can actually fulfill the law and inherit eternal life. But you'll notice that Jesus' answer is not so much about eternal life so much as living into the eternal life now. Jesus' answer is so consistent with what Jesus' whole ministry looks like, especially in the Gospel of Luke, that it is not a matter of purity, but community. It is all about how we treat one another. And not the people that are insiders, not the people who look like us, who act like us, who worship like us, but all people. You are to show compassion and kindness. You know, this past week, we read this story. In fact, we acted out this story, which was just a lot of fun. During our day camp, we had different kids be a different parts of the story, but we changed it up a little bit. So instead of the priest and the Levite, we had the president, right? Yeah, the president and the bishop. Yep, that's what we did. And then instead of the Samaritan, which is a despised person you would never expect to do anything good, we had a recently incarcerated person. Yep. And so that was the one who helped the person who had been beaten up. And it was so beautiful. We used it right in the middle of the week. This week when we're talking about transformed community. And it was perfect because, you know, when you gather a group of young people like that, it's really a microcosm of what the whole community can look like. It's so amazing when you have these children together because you get to the end of one day, right? You're there for 5 days. You get to the end of the first day, and already kids are best friends. Like, this is my new best friend. You just met each other. How can you be best friends? But not only that, these kids have enemies. Like, already, these kids have enemies, and they have drama between them. And then, even better, they have frenemies. You know, the person who is their best friend one minute, and then they do something they don't like, and so all of a sudden they're their enemy. And then 2 seconds later, it's okay, they're playing together again, and they're friends. It is community. And their sense of community is so shaped by the environment they come from. And so sometimes you see that lived out in how they show up on a given morning. That they're full of joy and energy because their morning went well, or they're just in a horrible mood and want to pick at everyone because their parent came home from night shift and really had a hard night and just was angry, and so they too come in angry. And so we tried to work through what it looks like to be transformed community. And it was beautiful because we worked through a different part of that each day. We worked through generosity, inclusion, compassion, forgiveness, and justice. And you know, this reading was the one for compassion, which is pretty obvious, right? It was the Good Samaritan who showed compassion, who showed mercy to the man beaten up. But I think that this gospel story, this story that is so well known, is so beautiful because it encapsulates every single one of the themes we talked about. Because in fact, it is about how do you become a community together. We see in the Samaritan one who was incredibly generous. He was incredibly generous with whatever he had. He was generous. Well, first of all, when we think of generosity, we think about what? What do we think about? Yeah, money. We think about money, right? He was incredibly generous with his money. We don't know how much he had, but he spent his own money to care for this man he had never met before. And he took him to an inn and he paid 2 denarii. And 2 denarii is basically 2 days' wages. So this man worked 2 full days for this stranger, right? And he used those wages to care for him. He was generous with his own body. You know, that's something we're so hesitant to do sometimes. He went to this man and he touched him. He poured oil and wine on the man's wounds and wrapped him up. He was generous with his time. I think that's the one that's hardest for me to grapple with, because you can understand why the 2 others passed by. They were busy. They had things to do. They had people to see. They were on their way, most likely, to the holy city to go about the work that they were called to do. Of course, they couldn't stop randomly. But so also we must assume that this Samaritan, being far from home, this is not his home place. Being far from home, he had a particular errand that he needed to deal with. And yet he took the time to be with this stranger and care for him. That is generosity. And I see that lived out here all the time, especially among those who have the least. I see them pour out such generosity as they come and bring food that they can't use, that they got either from this pantry or from other pantries, to come and fill the pantry here again, because they don't want to waste and they want to feel like they are giving back to those who have given them so much. Generosity transforms community. Inclusion, that's perhaps one of the hardest things for us to wrestle with. Inclusion is so interesting in this story because it is the one who has been excluded, the Samaritan, for worshiping in a different place, for growing up in a different way. It is he who has been excluded, and yet he is the one who actually forms community in this story. He is the one who reaches out to this stranger and shows him kindness. What a beautiful act of inclusion, and how hesitant we are to do that. How often we exclude one another because we look different, or we sound different, or we worship different. Today is a hard day in Baltimore City and other cities across the United States, as some of our neighbors are in fear of being deported. Some of my neighbors are among them. How are we called to be people of inclusion? People who form community, not because of citizenship or because of status, but because that is simply what it means to be human. And then there is, of course, compassion. This Samaritan showed greater compassion than many, than perhaps most. He reached out to this man whom he did not know and showed him this kindness. And this is such a hard thing to wrestle with children, because it's so hard for them developmentally to get in the head of the other person. Right? So immediately when someone does something they don't like, they say, "Why did you do that?" Or, "How dare you do that?" Or, "I don't like you anymore because you did that." They don't think about the fact that kid has had a really hard day. Or that kid has no idea who's going to be at home when he gets home. Or that kid is struggling because he doesn't have food to eat at home. They don't think about that. And so thinking about compassion with these kids means thinking about what it looks like to be empathetic, to get inside the head of someone who is different from you. Something that this Samaritan did better than so many of us. Forgiveness is, of course, a little harder. Forgiveness, I like to think of when we hold a grudge against someone, we hold space between ourselves because I'm better than you, right? Because you did something wrong, and if I forgive it too soon, then I'm letting you get off with doing something wrong, right? This Samaritan, so much distance has been put between himself and his community that he is currently in. Between himself as a Samaritan, the Israelite community, and yet he does not let that stand in the way of helping this man stranded on the side of the road. He forgives what has been done to him and reaches out and touches this man. And then, of course, there is justice. There is small j justice. You know, justice as in this man helping someone who is hurt on the side of the road. And there is the injustice of what has been done to the Samaritan by being excluded and unwelcome and considered not a full member of the Israelite community because he worships in a different temple. There are small acts of injustice in our community that we can try our best to overcome. And then there are big acts of injustice in our world around race and around immigration and around poverty and hunger and drugs. And yet, we are called to form community as best as we can, to work at it, to strive to be God's beloved community, even when it's hard. And yet, I will remind you of this. It is not I who make community. It is not you, though you work hard at it, who makes community. It is only God who gives us the will to be generous and to include others and to be compassionate and forgiving and just. It is only by the grace of God in Jesus Christ that we are transformed to be God's beloved community. May we simply not be stuck on purity, on being right, on being whole, but instead focus on what Jesus is getting at, to be God's beloved community. To live into, so well as we can, God's promise of eternal life that begins today by the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.